Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of RMV.
Hey guys, I hope you're all doing well. And today we have Shirayu Malehe here with us for today's episode. Shirayu is an actress, a dancer, and a photographer.
Yeah, and I'm actually really excited for this episode because I've been watching Attaway General since season one. And I didn't imagine that I would, you know, get to speak to you in person. Because I was like, you know, who is this, you know, Indian lady, like, in the show? And I always wondered, like, I don't know, I'm pretty sure I'm never going to meet her anyway. So, so I'm really lucky.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me, ladies.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining. We're really excited. So we wanted to start off by asking about your acting career. And we wanted to ask, how and why did you get into acting? Like, what made you choose to go into this profession?
Sure. Also, real quick before we start, I just wanted to clarify the pronunciation for my name is Shirayu Malehe.
Malehe. Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay. yeah, so in terms of why did I or how did I get into acting, is that sort of what the question you were asking was?
Yeah.
Yeah, so growing up, I spent a lot of time on stage. I grew up doing Bharatanatyam. My parents were also super involved in the Indian community, so the Marathi community specifically. So I spent a lot of time dancing. We did a lot of Bollywood dances as well growing up. So I just remember spending so much time on stage growing up, and I really enjoyed making people laugh and smile. But when I was younger, I think acting never really seemed like a viable career path. You know, all of our family friends would always joke about it, and they would always like encourage me and say like, oh, you know, like we love watching you dance, or we love watching, you know, you in this theater show and whatnot. But I don't think it ever seriously crossed my mind as an actual career path. And I think a lot of that is just because I didn't grow up seeing a lot of Indian characters on TV outside of like Bollywood movies. But I mean, in mainstream America, I don't think there were many Indian actors at the time. So I think as I got older, I thought, you know, if I did entertainment business, that would be like a good happy medium where I could still be close to the arts, but still have a traditional job. So I went to college for business and I minored in entertainment business specifically. And I really thought that was going to be it. You know, maybe I could finance for films, or I could do market research for films or movie marketing or something. But I graduated a semester early from college and I did an acting class in India. And so I spent a few days auditioning there after that. And I think that was the first time I started wondering, like, you know, what would it be like if I could actually pursue acting as a full-time career? But at that point, you know, I had already signed my offer to work for, I was in a two-year management program somewhere. And so I had already signed that offer. And I was like, I have to go through with this now. And I told myself, okay, like, if I still feel this strongly about acting in 2 years, then I'll make a decision at that point. But for now, like, let me, you know, work corporate, give that my 100% and see where that takes me. But in those 2 years that I was working corporate, I started taking more acting classes. I moved to LA through one of my, through my job. And I started getting involved in short films, web series, and eventually I kind of just knew that I had to quit. I think I really just felt like I had to quit my corporate job and give acting my full-time energy just to see if it could, you know, if it could go somewhere. So that's kind of how I ended up, or that's kind of been my journey through acting.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's also like, I think acting also takes like a lot of work too, because there's like a lot of steps too. And like, yeah, like as I watched like Attaway General, like, a lot of like fans were saying a lot of good things about, like, you know, because like I was surprised because like a lot of, like, you know, it's like diversity, so it's like, you know, I'm really, you know, glad that, you know, an Indian character is like in a, you know, TV show. So speaking of, my next question was, so how is your like experience like on Attaway General, and like Dixie D'Amelio was in it, so I want to share some thoughts.
Yeah, I think you guys might not realize this, but I'm like 27. So I'm a very different age demographic than these people.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even have a TikTok account when I first started filming for the show. And I didn't realize until we were like pretty far into filming that Dixie and Lauren and Maddie were all TikTok influencers. And so actually, the way I found out was, I remember we were all backstage, like we're, sorry, in our green rooms. And we were just all, you know, like, I think they were, since, you know, they're in high school still, they were doing homework and stuff backstage. And I think there was a young girl, like a young girl, like she must have been maybe in fifth grade or something like that. And she came into the green room because I think somebody had told them that I think Lauren or Dixie or somebody was there. And the reaction that that girl had, she was like, oh my god, like, oh, and she like went, can I get a picture? And I was like, oh my goodness, I was like, this seems like I clearly missed something. I was okay then, and that's, I think that's when I like went and I kind of like, I joined TikTok and I started looking. I was like, oh, these guys are like very well established, like yeah, they have a lot of fans. And yeah, they were all super sweet, very, you know, easy to work with. And I have a lot of respect for them because it's not easy filming a show and also being in high school. Like they had to, they were doing homework and stuff on set. And you know, some of them have a lot of like brand deals and things like that as well, so they have to create content that's in line with certain protocol that the brands give them, and they also have to learn all their lines and, you know, be off book for all the scenes, and they have to do homework. So I have no idea, like they are seriously, they really are amazing in how they manage their time and are able to do all that. But it was super fun being on set with everybody, and especially this season, the second season, I feel like because I had a slightly bigger part, I got to spend more time getting to know everybody. And yeah, it's been awesome working with everyone. I feel like on the show, I am always, I'm like kind of the mean one, or I'm always like stirring the pot. Always like starting like, you know, stuff. And I think it's funny because in real life, you know, I think they're all adorable. They think they're all awesome. Mackenzie, I think, or who she plays Sasha in the show, she, I feel like on the show especially, I pick on her a ton. But in real life, she's so sweet. She's like my favorite. So
yeah, I also like your character. Like, I think it's Maeve, right?
Maeve.
Yeah, Maeve. Yeah. Like a good, nice character, because it's like, you know, she's really bossy, and like she's just like, you know, I need you to, you know, get on, like get to do your work properly.
Nice. I feel like that reminds me of like being in college and like working on group projects and having to like, guys, like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
I don't see your contributions in the Google Doc yet.
Yeah, that's very cool to know that how, like you're acting with so many other people, and like to know like acting is a really hard job, and I don't think most people, you know, realize that until like, you know, people tell you like this is so many, especially like as you said, if you're a teenager and you're in high school and you're acting, it's so much stress. And so like I really like they're really inspiring.
Yeah.
So I was wondering like what other projects have you done, and are there any upcoming projects that you can talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I just finished filming a commercial for a company called Kayak. And so, I mean, in terms of like recent things that have happened, there's that. I just wrapped filming for a feature film. It's like a horror, thriller, murder mystery type of film. Yeah.
And yeah, then, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's super fun. It was my first time I got to like break a bottle on somebody's head. And so it was like my first time doing like an action sequence. So that was really fun. Yeah, so I've done a bunch of other commercials as well, and a lot of different short films, like web series and things like that. But I'm trying to pivot more into film and television specifically now. So that's kind of like the next moves I want to make would be moving more towards TV. Yeah, actually, I just finished talking to a friend about a feature film script that he wrote, and this is probably the most excited I've been to work on a project because I love the script. It's super funny and my friend is very talented. And so I think we're gonna start filming that in mid-May. So I'm super excited about that.
Ooh, that's really exciting. Yeah, we'll be looking forward to that.
Thank you.
So how has being a woman in color in this industry impacted your journey as being an actor?
Yeah, so I think we're at an interesting point of time because there are a lot of changes happening. I think as more networks are willing to put dollar value behind hiring diversity, I think we're seeing a lot more change happen. But I still sometimes think that, yes, change is happening, and having people like Mindy Kaling or Priyanka Chopra, like other women of color sort of producing projects at a high level with like that are getting a lot of screen time, that is awesome. And that's definitely opening doors for sure. And people are now willing to see, like, I don't know if you guys saw the show Never Have I Ever.
Yeah, I have watched it.
Like, I think it's awesome that like all the lead cast is basically Indian, like all, like, you know, three strong women. And I think that has definitely helped open doors for sure. But I'm finding that a lot of other mainstream network television shows are still only using diversity in kind of like, it's as like the funny best friend, right? It's like very rare that you will watch like a procedural drama, like a NCIS or like one of these, you know, dramas where you'll have the lead characters be diverse. I'm waiting and I'm hoping that that's going to start changing as well in the next couple of years, where you'll start seeing it's not just like the two lead characters might be white, but then all their friends or the love interests are not white, right? I would love to see even the lead characters be cast diversely. But I think that in terms of, for me, where I'm at, like, you know, at the beginning of my career, it's definitely been a good time sort of seeing people even just be willing to look at other ethnicities for certain roles that they might not have traditionally been open to, you know, maybe even just like 2-3 years ago. And it's been helpful. Even just, I have a lot of friends in the industry as well who have been noticing that, who have even booked parts that weren't necessarily meant for Indian characters. Like the name might be, you know, like Joe or Emily or something, where it's clearly not necessarily meant to be an Indian character, but they got the part anyways. So I think that's a big step.
Yeah, what you said, it's really true how there are not that many main leads that are diverse or Indian. Yeah, like, I was thinking about it and I was like, that's so true. Like the side characters are always the diverse ones. Yeah, so I really hope there's more change in that in the future.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I'm really glad to see, like, you know, Indian representation, like, in many, like, I think shows, like, I think Jesse, like, Ravi was, like, I mean, he was still important, and, like, I think you might have watched it, right, Shirayu? We watched Jesse, the TV
show. It was a Disney show.
Disney show, yeah.
I don't think I have.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah, but, like, in that TV show, too, like, there's, like, this one Indian character as well. And also, I think there's, like, one new Disney TV show coming out, and there's, like, an Indian girl, and she's actually leading. It's coming soon, but I heard it. It was, like, someone posted on Instagram, I think. But
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there are definitely roles coming out, especially because I feel like, especially your guys' generation, like I think Gen Z in general is much more globally and politically aware, and is also kind of like advocating for change, and is like asking for the boundaries to be pushed a little bit more, which is great. I really admire that about you guys.
Yeah, we are.
The fact that you guys have this podcast, I think that's so awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, we want to spread knowledge to everyone. Like, that's like the main reason why we created the podcast. Yeah.
Was there like a certain moment in time where you guys were like, oh, you know what would be great? A podcast where we interview people, or like,
what happened? It was during quarantine, and, you know, Varsha and I were both, you know, bored. So I was like, you know what, let's do a podcast. And Varsha was like, what's a podcast? Like, we both didn't really know what a podcast was. Yeah. So like, we did a lot of research on it. And then like, we did a couple episodes by ourselves. But then like, we got like a therapist in for one of our episodes, and that gave like a huge hit, like so many people listened to it. And then we realized like, oh, we want more people like her, like come in and talk about their lives and like inspire other people. So like, that's what we're doing now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was also wondering.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I feel like without this podcast, I wouldn't have met you, Shirayu, or like anyone.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was wondering, like, what advice would you give to anyone who's who wants to become an actor or wants to pursue that career?
Yeah, I feel like recently, especially like after the pandemic hit, I had a lot of, so I went to school undergrad for business. And so I've had a lot of friends reached out sort of saying like, how do I get started? Or like, how do I enter the industry? Like, what do I have to do? And I think what's been interesting is sort of helping people navigate or helping people even just realize what it requires or like what it takes to get started. So my number one advice would be make sure to take classes, because I think I think the job of an actor is to make it seem effortless. And that's, I think anybody who is able to achieve that is a good actor, right? But I think on the watching end, sometimes as an audience member, because it feels so effortless when you're watching, it seems like it's much easier than it might be. So I think that's always my number one thing that when people ask me like, hey, how do I get started, is, you know, make sure you're getting the right guidance and the right training, and that, you know, before you jump to, you know, getting an agent or a manager or looking at, you know, auditions and all of these other things, I think it's important to make sure that your training and your skills are intact. Like, that's something that I take pretty seriously. Like, I'm still in classes and I will continue to do that and get coaching and training, even, you know, even when we're filming stuff, or, you know, making sure that even for all my auditions, getting coached and stuff like that as well. So I think training for anything you do, right? I think it's like, you can't be a doctor without the right training. So,
yeah.
And that can look like different things for different people, right? I think some people are more natural with their, you know, in their instincts, and acting might come a little bit more easily to them. And, you know, they may not need certain types of training, but I think just, you know, making sure that your craft and your skill is there before you take it to that next level of starting auditioning and networking and all that other stuff.
Yeah, I think it like also, like, I think every job, like, it takes practice too to like get better at it. Like, it's especially like acting, like you said, Shirayu, like it takes, you know, you should take classes, you know, until you get better at it. So I think, yeah, that's,
yeah, like, even like, I watched some of the first like short films. So I started acting, like properly acting, maybe 2 years ago. And so even just like 2 years ago, when I watched some of the short films that I first did, I'm like cringing so hard at my own acting, like, oh no, what am I doing?
Yeah.
So even, you know, it's like progress can happen, you know, through over time. And I think that starting early is important.
Yeah, same thing with our podcast. I was telling Russia earlier, like, I was listening to like our episodes, like the first couple episodes, and I was like, what are we doing? It was so bad. Like, we were speaking like in a robotic voice, because like we were like literally like reading off the script, and then like what we were doing. And like, yeah, we gained a lot of skills. Like, we learned from it, like, you know, not to read from a skip script, to improvise more, so it can be more of a natural conversation. So like, practice makes perfect, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so moving on to the next topic, photography. So you are a photographer, and I wanted to know, like, when did you begin pursuing photography, and how did you start?
Yeah, so one of my dad's really close friends, like, you know, I think a lot of, you know, immigrants, when they first move to the US, they have really small, tight-knit family friend circles. I'm sure your parents probably have similar, like, I'm sure you guys have aunties, yeah, and uncles, or family friends, right? And
yeah. So,
My main uncle is sort of the friend of my dad's that was super into photography. He was very into the technology, like the gadgets, and like getting new flashes and new lenses and new camera bodies and things like that. And so I think when I was like maybe 10 or 11, he would always have his camera, you know, with him at our family parties. And so I started learning from him. So he would bring his camera to the parties, and he would let me take photos, and he would teach me about the different settings and how to compose a good frame and how to get good lighting and this and that. And I think after that, for my 13th birthday, everybody kind of chipped in, and they got me like a DSLR, like a nice big camera, for my birthday. And then after that, I started photographing a lot for concerts, dance recitals, like live events and things like that. And yeah, and I think from there, things sort of morphed into other stuff as well. Like, now in LA, everybody, like, there's a lot of other influencers out here. So I've been doing a lot of influencer or like lifestyle photography, or, you know, wedding photography, or especially nowadays, I think people are doing a lot of like engagement shoots or proposal photography. So I just kind of have been picking up those skills as they come along.
Yeah, I think like photography is like really fun. Like I think Mega and I and like one of our other friends, mutual friends, we like actually started like a photography account. And like now we've been so inactive because like, you know, COVID hit, it's like what's there to like take pictures?
Yeah.
So like I think it's like a really unique way to like, you know, because like I love taking, I'm a, you know, a person that loves photography. So is there like a favorite place like you love shooting pictures?
Ooh. That is, I think in general, my favorite type of photography is travel photography. So I don't necessarily know if I have a favorite place, but I tend to find that a lot of places that I've traveled to within India, because I think India is such a, I mean, I hate to use the stereotype, but I feel like because India is such a colorful, because it's the way people dress, and even just, I think, the social customs and norms, are really fun to photograph. And even just the landscape is can be super green depending on what time of year you're there. So I really love photographing in India. Like last year, I think January of last year, I got to do a trip to Varanasi for 2-3 days, and I got some really cool portraits there because it was just so, it was such a different space to be in and a different mindset to be in.
I think India is also like really diverse because there's like a lot of tradition, and it's, you know, Hinduism, like it's like the oldest religion. So there's like a lot of old custom. You see like so much traditional like methods used and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, or even just the fact that, you know, a South Indian wedding, like a Tamil wedding, looks very different from a Punjabi wedding. In, like,
exactly. Yeah, it's so true.
Even just the colors that you'll see are different. Mm-hmm. The landscapes that you'll see are different. So Yeah,
every part of India, it's all different. It's so different. I think that's what's very cool about it. Yeah. Do you have any tips for upcoming photographers?
Photographers like us?
Yeah, I think a lot, like the most asked questions I get about photography are, you know, what camera do you have or what lens do you have? But I think that I have seen stunning photography from iPhones, you know? So I think it is less to do with what equipment you have and a little bit more about your perspective on the actual event that you're photographing or the moment that you're capturing. That's something that I sometimes get caught up in the technical of it as well. Like, oh, like this part looks overexposed, or, you know, the shutter speed wasn't fast enough or whatever, right? But I think, you know, when you kind of go back to thinking, what is the story that this image is telling? I think that is like the most important question when you're photographing. Whether that's for a wedding or whether that's for, you know, an engagement, like a posed photo, or whether it's like real time, you know, what story is that photograph telling?
Yeah, the best photos always have like a deeper meaning into it. And I think that's very true.
Right, whether that's symbolism or whether that's the way that the frame is composed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it like has like its own, you know, story. Like you have a story to tell through that picture. So like, is there a specific camera do you use?
Yeah, so I have a Canon Mark III 5D, and I photograph a lot with prime lenses. I don't know how familiar you are with photography, but prime lenses basically don't zoom. You have to they're fixed at a specific length.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Yeah, I think in certain ways, yeah, it does create some limitations because, you know, if you have a zoom, you can, instead of having to walk closer physically to something, you can zoom in, right? But I think with prime lenses, what I like is that it challenges me to think a little bit more creatively about how I'm composing the image. So
moving on, you're also a dancer. So what type of dance do you do?
Yeah, so when I was younger, my mom started taking Bharatanatyam lessons, which is Indian classical dance. And so I grew up watching her dance because, like, when my mom was younger, her family didn't allow her to learn dance because I think at that time, it wasn't necessarily encouraged for women to learn dance. So she always had this dream of wanting to learn how to dance, but she wasn't able to pursue that until she moved to the US. So when she moved to the US, she started learning Bharatanatyam, and I would sit in the stroller and like watch her. And then finally, when I turned 6 years old, my dance teacher, Jayashree Didi, she said, yeah, like, I think, you know, Shari is at the age where she can join in class now. So I'm trained in Bharatanatyam. And then I also grew up doing a lot of different Marathi folk dances as well. My family is from Maharashtra. And then just Bollywood dance as well. And then when I got to college, I joined a fusion dance team. So a lot of the other dancers on the team had backgrounds in contemporary or hip hop or, you know, non-Indian dance forms. And so that was sort of my first exposure to learning, you know, more other Western styles as well. So that was really important in sort of changing the way I saw dance, because I think before that dance was very structured for me, and I think there was a very specific way I was looking at dance, but then when I started learning little bits and pieces of other styles, I think my view on dance changed a little bit, and sort of what the possibilities with dance could be and storytelling could be changed a little bit.
Yeah, I think Bharatanatyam, like, it's also, I think that dance form too, like, it has a lot of there's a lot of hardship, because, like, one of my friends, like, she's actually in college right now, and I think she had, like, her Arangetam, like, a few years, I think 2 years back, I think, and so she was telling me how, like, you know, every single, she started since she was, like, really, I think, like, around, like, maybe eight, I might be wrong, but she was, like, telling me how, like, you know, it's, like, practice sessions were, like, an hour long, and it was, like, really long, and, like, I went to Arangetam, so it's, like, really, it's, like, a beautiful art form, like, I actually, like, because it was, like, 3 hours, like, the Arangetam, and, like, there's, like, I think in between, there's, like, a break to, like, 30 minutes, like, after 2 hours, right, and you have to, like, quickly get changed, you know, I can understand that, because, like, I can't imagine, you know, me getting changed, like, you need to perform in a few minutes, like, come on, get dressed, and there's, like, a lot of ornaments, so, yeah. Like, yeah. And so I was just gonna say, like, in the middle of the dance, I actually cried because it was, like, so, like, emotional, and, like, the story they were, she was trying to say, you know, it's, like, really, like, you know, God, like, I was, like, oh my God, like, so many emotions came out, so.
Yeah, like, I remember in my Arangetram, one of the stories, or one of the dance pieces I had, the story was basically about a young girl who has, like, a child marriage. And so, like, you can imagine, yeah, like, yeah. That's, like, a very, you know, I mean, of course, this is, like, of a specific time period and whatnot, but even still, right, like, that's a pretty, can be a traumatic and, like, a very life-changing event. And so, yeah, and I think, you know, I always say this to my dance teacher, I'm really grateful to her, because, you know, Bharatanatyam was my introduction to acting, because so much of Bharatanatyam is dance drama, right, your storytelling. And so for me, that was the introduction to dance, to acting, was, like, I think, you know, the difference is you're not saying any of the dialogue, right? But you still have to communicate it through your body language. So whether it's, like, you know, for example, if you're portraying a female character, there might be a certain posture or body language that makes sense. And then if you're switching to a male character or, like, a king, right? That posture and body language looks very different. Yeah. So I think it was very helpful for me to be exposed to that and learning that at a young age, because that helped me transition into acting with dialogue for camera and on screen.
Do you have a favorite type of dance or least favorite?
Ooh, interesting. You know, I don't have a favorite or least favorite or anything like that, but I think nowadays, whenever I'm creating my own choreographies or stuff, I do prefer there to be some, like, semi-classical element to it, whether it's Bharatanatyam or Kathak or any of these other classical forms. I do like there to be a little bit of that flair to it. So yeah, I just think there's something nice about bringing it back to my roots, or, you know, the foundation of where it all kind of started for me.
That's really cool. My sister is actually a dancer too. She's part of a group called Expressions, and she does a folk dance, and they do, like, a lot of competitions every year, and it's very hard, like, even, like, her dance group, and I've seen, like, you know, juniors level and then the senior level, and they put so much work and so many practices. Like, I remember, like, during competition time, my mom and my sister would, you know, be so crazy and tired for all, like, the different practices every single week. They would, like, go, like, at night and come back at night, and it was crazy. So
I totally knew my, I remember when I was in college, my dance team was called NYU Nesha. And so we would have, especially if a competition was coming up, like, we were up till 3 a.m., 4 a.m. My dad, I remember, used to get so mad. He was like, are we paying for college or for you to dance? So very relatable content. Is your sister younger or older than you?
Oh, yeah, she's younger. She is 11 years old, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, she's in sixth grade, yeah. And right now it's during COVID. They're doing online dancing, which is, you know, not the same, but yeah, that's what she's doing now. So what struggles and challenges have you faced in the dance industry, and how have you overcome them? Do you have any stories you're willing to share?
I think one thing that I realized is when I graduated college, when we were in college, my dance team and all the other dance teams, right, they were practicing dance. They were like easily dancing like multiple hours a week, and dance was a huge part of everyone's life. But I think once I graduated, I realized that, you know, most of my friends were either med students or investment banking, or, you know, had a traditional, like more corporate career paths, right? And so for them, it was really difficult to continue dancing. And if they did, it might be, you know, once a week, like a 1 or 2 hour rehearsal. And it was really hard seeing so many talented dancers just not dance anymore, or just really struggling to find a way to incorporate it into their life. So I'm really grateful that I found a bunch of different dance companies to join and be a part of. And I'm also grateful that my lifestyle kind of like allowed me to join those dance companies and even have that be a source of income for me as well. Because I think that I talk to a lot of my friends now, and then they miss it so much. So I'm grateful that I was able to continue dancing even after college. But I know a lot of people who, you know, had to stop or have not been dancing as much. I think something I'm struggling with right now is, especially in COVID, before COVID, I was a part of, you know, 3-4 different dance companies. And most of the performances we had were at weddings or music videos or basically live events, right? And so now that none of those are happening, that first of all, that income source is completely gone. But then also, just like for many of the dancers, like we're all like out of shape, and we're all like struggling to sort of figure out how do we keep dance in our life in a meaningful way. And that relationship towards or with dance is kind of changing and evolving for me.
Yeah, I think no one's like, you know, dancing at this day and age because of COVID, because like all the classes are online. So it's like really hard. Like for me, like I'm also like a dancer too. Like a few years ago, like I did like a dance for 1 year. When I was young, like I did Bharatanatyam. I actually lived in Singapore before for a few years.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah. So I actually practiced Bharatanatyam, but then like at the time it was my first performance at like this temple nearby in my house. Near my apartment. So basically what happened was that like we were going to move to America like the day, or I think a few days after, so like I couldn't go to my first performance. So I was actually like, unfortunately I couldn't perform, and like we practiced so hard, and like my friends, like we, and like the teacher, she was just also, she like really, I forgot her name, but like she taught us really well. And also I think like this time, because like, we have a club in our school, it's called like Creators University, it's like a dance club, and they're also seeing the same thing where like, you know, not many people are attending because, you know, it's like online, and I feel like everyone's just kind of embarrassed to like, you know, with their video on, they're dancing, it's like someone's gonna see them. And so, yeah.
And also, I feel like so much of dance, there's a community element to it, right? Especially if you're dancing in a group. And so when you take that social aspect away from it, and now you're just like dancing in front of your computer, it feels very different.
Exactly.
It's like playing a sport, right? Like if you have 8 dancers and you have all these different formations you're trying to hit, right? In the same way that like in basketball, you have different formations you're trying to hit. I think it's similar in that you're taking a very like important part of the sport out of it.
It's like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm actually in school orchestra right now, and it's very, we can't play because it's...
Oh, is there, you guys doing that through Zoom or like through online?
Well, we can't do it at the same time. So what we tried is like, we played it by ourselves and our teacher put it together, and oh my God, it was so bad. Like everyone, we would like start at the same time, but everyone would go in different speeds and this all messed up. And I was like, this is not going to work out. Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
I hadn't even thought about that for band, because I played a lot of instruments growing up as well. Like, I had never even, I guess I'd never thought about, like, how would orchestra or band operate virtually.
Yeah, exactly. It was so hard. I was like, when she gave us assignment, I'm like, this is not going to work. I knew, like, this won't work, because everyone is playing their own notes, their own speed without a conductor. And I was like, okay. So now I'm saying, like, I haven't, like, touched my instrument so long. Like, we're just doing, like, viola. I play the viola. Yeah. So, like, now we're just, like, doing research about the instruments instead of, research about the music of the instruments instead of, like, playing. And I miss playing, but yeah, I guess this is the reality.
Oh, how long have you been learning viola for?
I'm still, like, a beginner. I started in eighth grade, so I'm not the best, but I'm still, you know, learning. Yeah.
And you're in 11th grade now?
I'm in 11th grade, yeah, we're both juniors. Yeah,
great.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing, like the same scenario, like kind of like me, because like I actually took guitar as an elective, so I played the guitar, and so it's kind of hard because the guitar teacher is like, oh, you know, since COVID hits, like all distance learning, I don't really think I can show you guys, you know, how to play the guitar, because, you know, I'm going to have to, post videos like him doing it, like instructional videos. And like, yeah, because the instructional videos help, because when he explains in class, I don't understand what he's trying to say. And so the instructional videos, I just watch them. And also I think through Zoom is like a lot of people cut their cameras off and they're not, and he doesn't even care anymore, because like he knows no one's, and I also cut my camera off because
I know, same.
And so I play a song on my guitar that's not even related to what we're doing in class. I'm just going to be learning like, I don't know, like a Madison Beer song or a Taylor Swift. Like I literally put a YouTube tutorial and I just do it during class, even though I'm supposed to play the class song. So I feel like it definitely changed.
But it's good that you're still at least learning something. I think it's better to learn something that you're passionate about. Because, I mean, I feel this way. Like, I grew up, when I was younger, my mom tried to put me in class for karate, and I just was awful at it.
Yeah, same.
But when I got into seventh grade, I watched one of my friends compete at a competition, and it got me really inspired, and I started learning Taekwondo, like another martial art form. And then after that, I think my progress for that was so much faster, because it was me, like it was my interest that was propelling it. So I think, you know, in the same way for you, Varsha, like it's good that, you know, you're at least finding something that's holding your interest rather than like completely tuning out and not playing anything. So I think it's good that, you know, you're at least trying.
Yeah, I'm like trying to like combine, because like, you know how you're an actor, you're a photographer, you're a dancer. It's amazing. Like, it's amazing to meet someone like that, because I'm trying to combine, like, you know, dancing, trying to combine photography, same thing. And I'm playing guitar, and it's definitely hard sometimes, because like sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm like, I don't know if I should dance, because I don't have any friends who like to dance with me. So I have like, I don't know if you know, it's like Just Dance, like on Xbox, and I just dance. Like,
oh, I know. Yes, I know.
I love Just Dance. I just play like that. Because I think a few years ago, like when I was a freshman, so my parents were like, okay, fine, you know, since you didn't get to be a Bharatanatyam dance, maybe you can try doing semi-classical dance. So I went with my friend, and she actually does classes for such a long time. She's been doing like, I think, for 2 years since eighth grade. And so I told her, yeah, for sure, I'll join you. And then like, I joined like the semi-classical dance. The dance seems like overall very nice. You know, everyone is like, we did like rehearsals. And then like every weekend, like my dad would like drive off to San Jose, like drop at the house. It's just like so long. And like, we had this competition, and like, we actually got third place. So I was like, wow, it's like, I'm really proud. And so we all got third place in a competition. So
yeah. And I mean, I'm not trying to like be your mom or anything, like lecture you, but but I think it's important. Like, I think, you know, it might seem hard right now to continue with dance without like, you know, the social element to it. But I think I really encourage you to find, you know, maybe there are certain dancers on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube, you know, that you like, or whose choreography you can follow along with, and, you know, at least keep that interest going. Cause I think most skills are like a muscle, right? You just have to keep working them and flex them. And if you don't, then they kind of atrophy. So I really encourage you to continue dancing, though. Of course, I'm biased because I love dance, but.
So do you think like dancing has stabilized your mental health? Because I know like everyone's mental health is like not perfect these days, because mm-hmm. we're like 24/7 at home. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think dancing and just physical exercise in general has definitely helped me. Like I try to go on a run every couple days, every 2 days, just to sort of, you know, get me out of the house, first of all. You know, I think it's really important to, physical exercise is definitely important. But also just, you know, for me, and I think everybody kind of went through this in different phases of quarantine, or just like learning a new skill. I think for me, I picked up the ukulele for the first time in quarantine.
Yeah, I saw on your story on Instagram, and I texted Mega. I'm like, oh my God, she plays the ukulele so well. Mega's like, I know, right?
Oh, thank you. but you know, that was really tough because I'd never played a string instrument before. Like in band, I played saxophone and I had played piano and flute, you know, when I was younger, but I'd never played a string instrument. So, you know, for me, the physical act of learning something that was outside of my comfort zone was really helpful as well. You know, it gave me something to look forward to. And I started posting on Instagram as well, just, you know, little clips of me playing ukulele just to keep myself accountable. Like, if I tell myself like, oh, I have to, you know, post, even if it's just like 6 seconds of me playing a certain song, you know, like, but if I have to post it, then I'll make sure that I do it. So I think holding myself accountable in that way to like learn something new and stretch my imagination or things like that, I think that kind of helped me with my mental health as well. And then I FaceTime my parents pretty much every day. So that definitely helped my mental health as well. You guys are lucky. You guys get to live at home with your parents still.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's like one thing I'm really, you know, sad about, because I'm going to go to college in one year, right? I'm senior year next year, so I'm going to miss that a lot. It depends like where I'm going to college. If it's somewhere here close by, I'll be happy. But if I go somewhere far, I'm like,
yeah. Out of state, man.
What do you both want to study? Like, what are you guys interested in?
I'm still trying to figure it out, honestly. Like, I want to help people, so I want to go into the medical field, but I'm still, like, seeing, like, what can I do in the medical field? Because there's so many things you can choose from. So I'm still experimenting with that, yeah.
Cool.
What about you, Marcia?
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. I was just interested in, like, computer science, like, engineering. So, yeah.
Go. Cool. You know, I think, you know, one of the things that I have seen a lot of people gravitating more towards, right, in like, at least in my generation, is finding different ways to combine these hard sciences with more creative things as well, right? Like, you know, friends that were business majors undergrad that are now managers for musicians, or, you know, things are doing like analytics and research, or for example, like, movement therapy or dance therapy as like a form of, you know, helping still healing and still in the medical profession in certain respects, but sort of combining their interests. So it doesn't necessarily have to be all or nothing. There are definitely ways, to continue staying in touch with your interests.
Yeah, I'm still trying to look into it. It's getting me all stressed, honestly. I was like telling Marcia, like, yeah, because you know, we're looking for colleges, right? And then I have to pick a whole major, and I'm like, this is so stressful. Like, I'm like on my TikTok, I was like saying all my videos are people applying to college and posting their stats, and it's getting me all stressed. I'm like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to start everything now? And it's junior year.
I do not envy you guys. It's definitely been a tough year, because I'm sure you guys probably took your SATs this year too, right?
No, it got canceled, actually.
Yeah, it got canceled, so we don't really know.
It's actually test optional. All UCs made it test optional. So, yeah, this year, like, it was funny because Marcia and I booked it, like, in August, and that got canceled. Then we did November, and then that got canceled. And then we did March, and then that got canceled again. So we're just like, it's going to get canceled.
I don't take it anymore because, like, it's getting canceled for no reason.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm sure you guys probably still have to write your like Common App essays. I don't envy any of that process. I'm so glad that I'm done with that and I never have to see it again.
Exactly.
Did you go to graduate?
Sorry?
Which university did you graduate from or college?
I went to NYU for undergrad.
Oh, NYU.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, I think we're done. Do you have anything else that you want to
topics or want to talk about?
No, nothing that I can think of, but thank you so much for having me, ladies.
Of course, this was
fun.
Of course.
I learned so much about you guys.
You too.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining. I was really excited that you got to come to our podcast. Yeah, I learned more about you. And this was very fun for me.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun because, you know, I've been watching Anime General. I'm really excited to what's going to happen next week. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm so glad that the episode with the Indian dance came out. The dance came out last week, so you guys could see that before this episode.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, I watched it, and I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. The dance was like, choreographed.
Well, me too.
Yeah. So yeah, so if you guys want to check out Shirayu Mahale's website, link down in the description, so go check her out.
Yes.
So as always, thanks for listening to this episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it, and stay tuned for more. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for more fun and entertaining episodes. Guests will be aired on YouTube, and other collabs will be on other broadcasting platforms. Visit our website megaversham.com and email us at megaversham2020@gmail.com. If you have any inquiry requests, feedback is always appreciated. And yeah, so thank you so much again, Shirayu, for joining.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, ladies.
Have a great day, everyone. It's me, Varsha,
and Mega
signing off.